All right. The title of my message today, and what I think God has for 2018, is breakthrough. You know, and you know, breakthrough is one of those things that gets thrown out there a lot, and it's something that I think we can, you know, hopefully break into. Amen. But like I mentioned, God, over a process of time, gave me, I believe, a prophetic vision, you know, for our church, a word to speak. Because, you know, I do know the Spirit of God. I don't know a lot of things, but I do know the Spirit of God. And I know that when the Spirit of God tells me something, that I really know it's Him. Sometimes, you know, you kind of think of some good ideas. There's good ideas and there's God ideas, right? We've all had those, good ideas and God ideas. God ideas are a lot better. And what I felt, when I felt the presence of the Lord, you know, He spoke a few things, and I'm going to set it up a little bit. Like I mentioned earlier, the word came to me starting Christmas Day. You know, I was just sitting in my recliner. I'm up early, and I was just going to send out, you know, Merry Christmas on Facebook. You know, how many done that this year? Probably a lot of us, you know. It was just a harmless time. I was just sitting down, you know, and as a pastor, I need to tell y'all Merry Christmas, right? I mean, y'all probably expect that sometimes. So I just said Merry Christmas, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke something to my heart. Said 2018 is going to be your breakthrough. Wasn't expecting that. So I typed that in there and hit send, and I thought that was the end of it. You know, just wait and see what happens. Well, then, as we was up in Wisconsin, and, you know, what amazed me is God spoke in Wisconsin. Now, my wife's not in here right now. I can get away with saying that. But, you know, I was up there, and all of a sudden, starting about the 27th, the Lord started to unfold that, what He spoke to me. And He gave me a little bit of parameters on it and a little bit of things that we need to do. And He kind of unfolded that for me so I could understand it in a little better way. And, you know, as I started to unpack that and what God spoke into my heart, you know, it's going to be a breakthrough in 2018 for some. But for others, it's going to be a breakdown. And that kind of hit me a little hard, kind of wondering what that meant. And how that's going to be. But it really ties into Scripture, how God does things. You know, Deuteronomy 30:19 is a Scripture I want to kind of jumpstart with here, and then we'll get into some others here. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for today, Lord, that this is a day that You've made. Lord, I thank You for the Spirit of God just moving in our midst today here in the church and, you know, just touching us each in a special way. We came here to receive, Lord. We have an expectation on You and Your Spirit to do something in our lives. And Lord, right now I yield to the gift that You put inside of me, Lord. I use it for Your glory. I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Very basic scripture, we've all probably heard it a time or two, talks about how God, you know, set before us. Now, I do know, just a disclaimer, we're New Testament people here, right? You know, Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid the price, so the curse has been broken for us. Amen. But, not everybody is walking in blessing, are they? We don't walk in blessing all the time. Because sometimes it comes back to the choices. You know, you and I have choices to make. You know, where do we want to do business at? Now, some of y'all shop at Jim and Charlie. Some go to Hy-Vee. Some may go to Ottumwa. You just choose different places to do business. And it's like that in the kingdom of God. Because you and I have choices to make of where we want to do business. It's not just automatic that we're just going to go and go to God's place and start buying our groceries there. You know what I mean? It's not automatic. Sometimes we've got to really, you know, press on through. And, you know, in the Garden of Eden, there was two choices. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that brought sin and death into mankind when they partook. So we can eat from wherever we want. You can take what I have today and receive it in Jesus' name. Or you can just dismiss it and you go out and you can go read Reader's Digest. You can go on one of those science channels that tells you that you came from a monkey. You can choose anything, can't you? You're a free person. God gave you a free will to make choices of where you want to do business in life. And I believe as a Christian, God has given us the potential and the opportunity to tap into His kingdom so that we can start to partake of the blessings. All the blessings we see in the New Testament especially that God says that Jesus came to give to us. Now, as we partake of these trees, I hope that we're eating from the tree of life, and there's ways of doing that. And I'll be honest with us, sometimes we talk a good game, don't we? You know, we can talk a good game. Maybe you're a Facebook Christian sitting here today. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can post with the best of them. But boy, you sure can't live it. Right? See, it's more than our words. It's more than our thoughts. You know, sometimes I think I'm better than I am. Has anybody ever done that one? That's why God gave you a wife, to remind you that you're not as great as you think you are. Right? Keeps us humble. Keeps somebody in our life because, you know, we can develop a thought patterns. We think that we're going through the motions and we're getting, things kind of done the way they're supposed to be, but yet we're not. We're not gaining ground. And what I found out in my life, you know, you can say, well, I'm neutral. Well, if you're in neutral, you're not moving. You're not in God's will. You can't be in neutral. You got to be in drive. You got to be in drive, and you need to be heading towards God's stuff and God's ways and God's, you know, things that He wants for our life. Because if we think we're in neutral, we're just going to coast downhill backwards. It's not a good thing. So, you know, we need to get that, you know, this is a lot funner than you guys are letting on. I mean, we're going to get some good stuff here in a minute. Now, the next scripture I want to look at is how God releases things. Now, God gave choices in the kingdom there when we do it. Then on Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, He gave us His word here, and He was speaking through the prophet, and He said, "So my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing that which I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which it was sent." So when God sends a word to you and I, and we receive words all the time, if you read your Bible, you're getting a word from God. Amen. Every time you're in the Bible, God's Word, God is speaking to you. He's telling you things. Now, every now and then, have you ever noticed God's really speaking to you? You know, something will just jump right out in your face. And all of a sudden, whoa, that was for me. See, that's a rhema word. Now, we know these words, maybe a few, but I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. You got your logos and your rhema is how we break it down. Logos is kind of the written word. That is something that you and I partake of freely every day. You know, anytime you want to get in the Word, you know, you can read your Bible, you can do whatever you choose. Well, then all of a sudden, sometimes God will speak a specific word to you. And that's kind of what He spoke to me a little bit there over the Christmas and the break there. Is the rhema word of God. And neither of them, you know, we like to think that the rhema word's more important, but you need the logos to keep you in check. You know what I'm saying? You know, some people say, well, God told me this, you know, God told me to leave my spouse, or God told me to cheat my boss. Well, that's not in God's word, is it? You know, God says, you know, you love your spouse. You know, God says we treat our masters with respect, and your boss is kind of your master. You know, now, if you want to quit, quit. You know, but you don't cheat, right? See, you might say that God told you that, but that wasn't God. That was the devil or your flesh. So you got to be able to sort it out. That's why we have the word, the logos in our life to keep us from getting in trouble. Now, when God's word is released, and we're going to maybe go into this a little bit this year, the power of spoken words. You know, words are containers, and they carry a message, as we all know. But something about God's word, when it's spoken and released, it accomplishes that for which it was sent. And Jesus said He sent His word and healed them, you know, in a scripture. You know, so a lot of things about the word is like a seed, and that seed's going to sprout. And, you know, if you want your life changed, start putting the word in your life. I am living proof of that. You know, I didn't know diddly squat about the Bible until I started to read one. You know, I knew bits and pieces that people had told me. But when I bought one and started to read it and started to put the Word of God in my life, and then little by little through a process, my mind started to be renewed, and it's still an ongoing project. You know, God's not finished yet. But that's how it works. So if you're sick and tired of being the way you are, use the Word of God. It never fails. It will never fail you. And you just have to, you know, be diligent and keep putting it in, and that stinking thinking will go away. Amen? Because that's what it is. We have wrong thought patterns established. I don't want to get off tangent here a little bit, but have you ever wondered why somebody can look at a situation and they can make, you know, maybe $30,000, $40,000 on the deal, and you look at it and you don't see nothing? What's that? They look at it different. They think differently. So that causes them to see the situation differently. Where they see potential, you see nothing. And see, it's like that when we get the Word of God in us. When we get the Word of God, it awakens something in us that causes us to want to get closer to God. And God has all the blessings and everything in His kingdom that we can start to flow into and start to walk in. So that's how important the Word is. Now, we looked at the Rhema and we looked at the Logos. And we release it. The Word has to be released. You need to speak it out. Now, I'm going to look at the two parts, breakthrough and breakdown right now. Now, what God showed me about the word breakthrough, that in 2018, if we choose to do it God's way, many of the dreams that we have in our heart are going to start to come to pass. They're going to start to come to pass. Those things deep down inside of you that you know, that you believe that God has called you into doing, but yet you haven't accomplished them yet, many of those things are going to start to open up doors for you, and you're going to start to see blessings. And you're going to start to see breakthrough in those situations. Those things maybe you've been praying for, asking God for, it just didn't seem like it's coming, but God said, this is the year of breakthrough. And we're going to start to see those things. Also, what He shared with me, there's two different choices, because life's full of choices. Number one, it's a time of choosing. It'll be a time of choosing, and it's going to be a time of turning. Okay, time of choosing is, I believe, what God showed me, is that we're going to have options. How many like options? You know, in the Bible, in Romans 12, 2, it talks about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I believe that in 2018, as we start to see breakthrough, you're going to start to see different levels of blessing being able to open up for you into your life. And it's going to depend on which one you choose and what you're going to go for that tells which one you're going to get. You know, we got to get out of the greasy grace and God's going to just give you everything you want just because you're you. No, you're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to use faith. You're going to have to go after these things. When God gives you an open door, you still got to walk through. God's not going to make you go through a door you don't want to. You have to walk through that door. Now, I'm going to use a baseball analogy. But, you know, when you're swinging a bat, if you hit the ball right on the sweet spot, it's going to go a lot farther with the same power of swing than it does just any other place on the bat, right? So if we get to the sweet spot of God's will, then we're going to start to see things start to manifest in our life. We're going to start to see these things. But we got to put ourselves in a position to be able to do these things. That's going to take a little bit of effort on our part to some degree. Now, the time of turning is what He revealed to me, is that, you know, we need to start to turn more things over to God and get ourselves to a higher level of trust. Many of you are very talented, and you're very good at a lot of different things. And that's good, but it also can cause us not to trust God enough. So we need to get to the place in our relationship, in our walk with God, where we start to trust Him more. And we start to look for His strength and His ability that's in our life. And then as we start to walk in His strength and His ability, then we're going to start to see some of these things start to manifest that we want to see. And that just comes by turning things over. And second, we need to turn away from evil. And this is where, oh, bummer, Pastor Brad, you're going to talk about evil. Yeah, evil. Evil will destroy your life. It's going to rob you of blessings. You know, God wants us to be to walk in holiness. I know holiness in the body of Christ isn't a big thing right now because everybody wants you to come to church to feel good about yourself. Well, I want you to feel good about yourself. But if I'm not making you feel uncomfortable every now and then, I'm a wimp. I'm not much of a pastor or much of a preacher if I don't make you feel uncomfortable at least once a month. Come on. Once a month. Can you give me that? Once a month. You know, where I'm challenging you to be better because I want to be challenged. I want to be better. And I want to walk in a greater level of holiness where I'm not causing people to stumble because of the things I'm doing in this world. Amen? I think that's a great, you know, idea to happen. Now, So that's what happens with the time of that. Now, getting to breakdown, this is the bad part. This is where we don't want to be. And, you know, like I said, if I had a dollar for every time that somebody used the analogy, there's going to be breakthrough on this coming year, I'd never have to work again. It's a very common analogy. But this is the first time I really felt that, you know, God said there's going to be the time, you know, I set before you life and death. You know, we're all mature people here, ain't we? We're big boys and big girls. We can handle it, right? You know, we've been around. We know where John 3:16 is, right? So God is telling the church that, you know, instead of trying to blend in with the world, you know, God wants us to draw closer to Him, because that's where the blessings. There's going to be a separation. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that break down in life, aren't they? Has anybody's car ever broke down on them? That's frustrating. Just frustrating. You know, back when I was younger, they didn't have very good tires, or at least I didn't have very many of them. You get flats quite frequently. You know, they didn't have the high quality, you know, rubber on the tires like today. I mean, people don't get flats as much anymore unless you, you know, drive over and nail somebody. But primarily, you know, never hardly break down with a flat tire, but there's other times. You know, you get in the old car and you're sitting there and you got to be somewhere real quick and click, nothing. You're broke down. You're frustrated. And what the Spirit of God told me is this is what a lot of Christians are going to start experiencing, those who don't want to go for breakthrough, those who just want to be lazy and hold back, they're going to start to experience frustration. Frustration in their walk with God, because they know they could do better, but they're not. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we like to just say that God's a Father, and He loves us, and nothing's ever going to happen. You know, He's going to make us all feel happy all the time, and Daddy's home, you know, and I'll jump in His arms, and glory to God, we're just having a good time now. But I'll tell you what, you know, if we're out there not doing some of the things that we're supposed to be doing, you know, we're starting to eat from the, not from the tree of life, we're eating from that other tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and we're starting to partake of the world system, and we're starting to think carnal thoughts, and we're starting to do carnal things, I just don't know. That don't sound like breakthrough to me. That sounds like breakdown. Now, the good news is God's given us the strength to do these things. He wouldn't say we could throw something out there for us unless we could accomplish what it is. So what he showed me is those who are not submitted and committed will experience this frustration this year. So if you're starting to feel it, turn away from it. Know that God wants you to tweak your direction a little bit. You know, it's not a heaven and hell issue. It's not about you're going to hell because you're not serving God like you're supposed to. You know, the odds are you might make it. I'm not the judge. You know, I don't make that decision. You know, I'm glad I don't, you know, because I'd probably play favorites. You know, I'd just let you guys all in, you know. But, you know, I can't do that. You know, God's the one who makes that call. Now, as far as the blessings, that's another deal. So this, what happens is when we get frustrated, I don't know about you, but when you get frustrated about something, you're willing to make a change. Maybe you'll buy a new set of tires. Amen? If you're getting flats all the time, maybe you'll change your tires. Well, if your battery isn't starting, and when it's cold, instead of carrying jumper cables all around, just go up and buy a new battery. You know, why go through the frustration of it when you have something else you can do? And see, that's the good news with God, is there's always a way to come back. It's like the prodigal father, the prodigal son's father. And, you know, I don't want to be the prodigal father, amen? But the prodigal son's father, how he was always looking, waiting for his son to come back. So that frustration is going to come, and hopefully that will bring desire to change. Now I want to look at Matthew 25. We've got a little bit of more territory to cover here. And this is some scriptures that's going to kind of paint this picture a little better. Matthew 25, 1-9. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. Now, I know this passage and the next one I'm going to look at is talking about end time events. So it talks about those who aren't going to make the cut when it comes to going to heaven. But that's not what I'm talking about here today. I want to look at it from a little different angle, and God can show us some spiritual truth from it. Okay, we see these 10 virgins, and, you know, 5 were smart, 5 were not as bright. 5 went and got oil and had extra. 5 of them just let it ride, you know, just going with the flow, man. Just living the dream, living the life. Well, all of a sudden the bridegroom came. Time to go. Well, 5 of them didn't have any oil left. I mean, they trimmed their things. They used to use old rags and different things, and they had to cut it back and wanted to start to get the fire trimmed back so it would burn better. Well, there wasn't no oil because they'd stick the rag in the oil and let it soak up, and then it would burn. But see, they ran out. They didn't have any extra. And the ones who had prepared for themselves didn't feel they had enough for others. And that's a true statement. You know, you can't have enough oil for somebody else. We all have to have our own oil. And what I found out from this passage is no oil, no fire. If you don't have the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life, you don't have a fire for God. And we need to get the oil. We need to stay full of the Spirit. We need to have the Holy Ghost working in our life and the presence of God just doing. Now, we don't have to feel Him every time to feel good about ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that the fact there's things that you and I can do, and we all know what they are, to make sure that we have enough oil when we need it. You know, opportunity sometimes comes and we have to be ready. So we have to, you know, because all these virgins had the same opportunity. They knew the bridegroom was coming, they just didn't know when. But 5 of them did their homework. 5 of them went out and did the work and got the oil that they needed. You know, and I'm using the illustration, they were faithful to God. They read their Bibles. They prayed. They were faithful to church, good attendance, stayed connected. And then when the time come, they was ready. But the ones, there's certain words I can't use here today that my old construction days, but you know, half-hearted effort will give you half-hearted results. And I think some of you know what I'm saying. But half-hearted efforts will get half-hearted results. We cannot play the grace game and just think that we can go out and be half-hearted in everything we do with God and not be diligent to the commitments that we made to Him. You know, some of those deals we made with God. You know, God, if you do this, I'll be faithful. You know, if you get me out of this trouble here, God, I'll be faithful to church and I'll be there all the time. Well, a month later, you're not there, waiting for the next deal. You know, God said, well, we've got to make another deal. You know, so I don't know if you see yourself as this, but you're probably the greatest investment opportunity that you have is yourself. Now, I don't mean in a selfish way, because we'll look at that next, but you need to invest in yourself spiritually. I don't know if you've noticed, but things are changing out there. The world is not the same world it was when you were a kid. And if you're a kid, you're probably going to see a lot of things that we never dreamed that we ever wanted our kids to see. But the spiritual climate environment out there is a very dangerous place. You know, all the different philosophies and things that are getting pressed up on us subliminally, however it is drawing people away from God. You know, and we can't be lazy. We got to keep putting the Word in. You know, the Word of God will change your life. If you never remember anything I've said today, the Word of God will change your life. It'll change your life. You keep putting the Word in, it will change your life, and you'll be a different person. Okay, last passage I want to look at here, a little lengthier, but I didn't want to cut it in pieces because just in case somebody's never read this one before. I already cut it in half. All right, Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40. It says, but when the Spirit of man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, see, that's going to be a great and glorious day. Praise God. Then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate from them one from another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. Now, the next half of that passage, which you can read on your own, is talking about the goats. So you got the sheep and the goats. And what the shepherd did, you know, back in the day, you know, the goats and the sheep used to go out and graze together. And some even said they looked very much alike, you know, and the shepherd knew how to separate them. But also the goats couldn't take the cold as good, and the sheep were a little more hardy. So the goats would have to be taken in a different spot to tend to them differently. So this was not uncommon for the shepherd to go through these things. So Jesus was using an analogy that they could understand about separating two classes. And this comes back to the breakthrough, the breakdown, just like the last passage with the 10 virgins did. Now, what the Lord kind of impressed upon me about the sheep and the goats analogy is about how we need to be getting involved with people. Getting involved with people. You know, he was challenging them that when you do something in the name of the Lord, is as if you're doing it as unto the Lord. See, it's important that we see that. And as we're being that kind of person that wants to, you know, do it God's way. So in saying this, you know, two classes of people, and the goats, they had the same opportunity. They seen the same people needing food, same people needing clothing, same people were sick, you know, same people had all these same needs, but only the one group could actually be aware of the needs around them. See, the church is acting like a bunch of goats. The church is unaware of the needs that are around them in this world. We think we're safe, we're okay, every man for himself. But see, Jesus tells us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation. He tells us to go out and get them. You know, we can put a bigger sign up. That might help. Or I could, you know, post more Facebook ads. That might help. Or what will really help is if you and I accept the fact that we are Christians and God has called us to go out and to reach people for Him, for His glory. That's how we make a difference. That's how we experience the breakthrough in our life. See, we need to get past ourselves. I'm just getting real. Sometimes we get so stuck on ourselves, we're stuck on our own problems, our own little situations, my marriage, my job, my kids, my this, my that, and then we're unaware. And I'll be honest, I heard a minister say this one time. He is a seasoned minister, and I respect him very much. He said, what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. And there's a lot of truth in that. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You know, so we need to start making things happen. See, the goats never got involved. See, we need to be a giver. And if we're not giving, we're not living. That's just the way it is. If we're not giving of our time and our effort, our finances, all these things into God's kingdom, you know, the Muslims are out throwing millions of dollars into this, you know, sending a message out, you know, that isn't of God, our God. You know, the church needs to be diligent. We need to be the people that's going out and making a difference, reaching out to our neighbor, reaching out to those around us to make a difference and seeing God get the glory. See, the goats were stingy and self-absorbed. You know, I see it. Have you ever heard somebody called an old goat? They're kind of stingy and self-absorbed, aren't they? You know, I never thought of that before. But, you know, that's kind of how an old goat gets, you know. And it's just kind of one of those deals. I want you to think about this. We need to get away from the mirror and start looking out the window. Stop just looking at yourself and myself. But we need to get away from the mirror, go over to the window and look out and see the opportunity. God, what would you have me do today? So I just want to throw that out today. That's kind of what the Lord laid on my heart. You know, breakthrough or breakdown. Let's set 2018, set us apart. Let's really press on and, you know, write this down. You know, breakthrough in 2018. What do you have to do to get to breakthrough? Maybe you're held in bondage. Maybe your marriage isn't the way it needs to be. Maybe your job situation isn't where you want it. Well, let's just start doing things God's way. Let's just see what God will do in our life. I'll tell you this. I guarantee this. Sure as my name is Brad. Every time when I get off track, I go back to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And I get right back where I need to be. Let's pray.